is Dr. Fatsani Dogani, who is an RN with over 14 years healthcare experience in the U.S. and U.K. Her research interests include infectious diseases and women's health, including gender-based violence. She was born in Malawi and lived in Ethiopia, Zimbabwe, England, and now the U.S. And she studied for her doctorate in public health, specializing in epidemiology, with the aim of making an impact in healthcare that can have further-reaching results than she felt her nursing role was able to achieve.
Hi, good morning. I guess the value of going last is I have a lot to try and stay up to par with. Anyway, I have no disclosures to suggest, so I'll get on with my presentation. So basically, the study that I did was for my dissertation at Walden University, which I just graduated from in May. And I looked at data from the healthcare facility that I work at. I work in the ICU, and since the H1N1, we got a lot of patients coming in that were pretty young with influenza. So I thought I should try and look at the healthcare worker vaccination rate within our facility. So the objectives of my study are mainly to describe the vaccination patterns among the employees from this healthcare facility, identify factors that are related with the vaccination uptake among the healthcare workers, list reasons for vaccination declination among the healthcare workers, and provide recommendations for policy and future studies. Being in California, the government is pretty, well, there's policies that encourages all hospitals to offer free vaccination to their employees. And now they have to, if employees decline, they have to do so by writing. Like, they have to actually decline. So they're mandated to offer free vaccinations, but the employees at the point when I was doing my study could decline them just through signing a declination form. As the first presenter went through, the background behind influenza, it is a global health problem, and it's encouraged in healthcare workers, and the healthy people goal is for 90% coverage. And currently, the rate is 60% in healthcare workers. So the problem that my study addressed was to look at the persistently low seasonal vaccination uptakes among healthcare workers. And having looked into the literature, most studies that have been done in healthcare workers use cross-sectional survey designs that looked at self-reported vaccination status. I looked at actual data because the facility actually collects the vaccination data. They have a database where they have all this information that nobody really uses. So I thought I would do a secondary analysis of the vaccination uptake and see if it can show me anything different to what the literature shows. So in order to carry out the study, I came up with the following questions. So what are the vaccination rates from the time the facility started collecting data, which was in 2006, until the 2011-2012 season? And then I focused specifically on the 2011-2012 season and looked at the what factors are related to vaccination uptake. Initially, I wanted to see if there's differences between, job classification, with an interest in looking at whether there's differences between physicians and nurses, but I had to exclude the physicians because the way the contracting works, they don't have all the data on the physicians. Like, I couldn't access gender, age, so I had to exclude them from my final analysis. And then I also looked at what the most common reasons for vaccination declination are, since when they decline, they actually go online and choose the reason why they're declining. So I used a combined cohort cross-sectional study design. The cohort aspect just looked at all the different years, and then the cross-sectional design looked at the 2011-2012. I had to get IRB approval from my university as well as the healthcare system. Use descriptive analysis for all three questions, as well as chi-square and logistic regression to answer research question two. So So compliance rate on this in this study refers to the number of healthcare workers that actually either got vaccinated or went online to decline the vaccination. So, and then vaccination rate is the number of employees that actually got vaccinated. If you look at 2011, 2012, the actual across board vaccination rate was actually 79%, but the 74.5 is based on my smaller sample after I'd excluded different individuals because of lack of information on them. So, in my final analysis, I had a sample size of 15,000, and I excluded the 3,573 because I didn't have information on date of birth, you know, gender, and everything else. So, but that's so based on that, I looked at the demographic variables, and when you look at percentage differences, the females were vaccinated at 75.2 compared to males at 73.9. So not clinically very different. At the same time, I found age, with every increase in age, there was actually increase in actual vaccination uptake. When I looked at job class, my surprising finding was that the nursing support, like the healthcare workers that assist the nurses, had a higher rate of vaccination, because I used nursing as my reference category. And that was the only real difference between them. But when you look at the actual percentage difference, there's 76% for nurses and 81% for nursing support, and everyone else is in the 70% range. And then by department, the challenging aspect of my study was there were lots of departments and lots of job categories. I'm looking at maybe 150 different job codes. So I had to work closely with someone within the human resources department and group them into different categories. So, for example, procedure areas cover something like the angiogram lab or the operating room and other different areas within the hospital. So my reference category was the med-surg unit because there were more nurses within the medical surgical unit and a lot more people kind of worked within that one department. And in terms of department, it was the reverse relationship, so people that work in procedural areas had lower rates of getting vaccinated than most of the other departments. But then again, when you look at the actual vaccination percentage rate, there wasn't that much of a difference in terms of, you know, like one, the highest being ICU at 80% and the lowest was 72% in the procedure areas. And then having looked at all these, the reasons that were given were personal reasons with 58.4% of the sample, 58 that said no, and that was the highest. And with personal reasons, it was very difficult to actually pinpoint what exactly is a personal reason. So I did, after all this, I recommended to them that they actually change it and identify reasons that could either be worked with education so that it's more specific. With the logistic regression output, it's very detailed, but again, the only factors that were associated with uptake were the age aspect. So with every increase in age, there was an increase in vaccination uptake. And then the nursing support as well, there was more odds of getting vaccinated if you were in the category of nursing support, kind of like similar findings to my chi-square output, where the procedure areas also had a lower rate of getting vaccinated. So in terms of what this adds to the literature is you know, there's the potential for all these facilities that collect all this data to actually analyze it for future education purposes, to try and identify if there's specific subsets of the workforce that need more education than others. So overall, this facility was able to increase their vaccination rate from the 2006 when they started collecting. So every single year they went up. And as I said, overall for the 2011-2012, it was 79%. But then for last year, which I didn't include in my study, it went down to 78%. So this year, they've moved to mandatory vaccination. So it's working. So I actually encouraged mandatory vaccination, but during my study, I thought they would have a lot of fighting from the union, because it's a unionized entity. But so far, people are getting vaccinated, so something's working. So my other finding for age, and then the nursing assistants. So even though some groups had significant lower odds of getting vaccinated, the differences weren't that clinical. So I think maybe more studies could see whether there's a pattern and actually go into looking at that relationship further. It was an observational study, so all this information was already there. I didn't specifically use data that was collected for this purpose. I had to exclude physicians due to the lack of complete data. So I had a great sample size, so maybe some of the statistical differences I found weren't actually very clinically different. And I had a lack of specificity due to the poor prediction of the non-vaccinated group. It may not be generalizable to different organizations because the way they structure their departments might be different. So our recommendations for future studies are to look at whether the statistical differences seen in my studies are duplicated, and then also interventional studies that require those that decline to take an extra educational class, kind of make it, you know, so that it's easier to get vaccinated than not to get vaccinated. And then more behavioral studies that attempt to understand why healthcare workers continue to refuse to get vaccinated. And I think looking at the literature and the way we report illnesses at my facility, it's very difficult to actually, you know, fight for the vaccination because you don't know whether it reduces illnesses. Because people, you know, even without the flu season, people call in sick, but you don't know why they're calling in sick. So even during the flu season, it's difficult to know, are they off sick because they really have the flu, or they're just deciding to call in sick because they're doing something else? So if someone could come up with a great way of figuring out how to actually quantify whether the vaccine reduces illness during the flu season, that would be great. And then also look at whether nursing leadership affects how many nurses get vaccinated. I guess I'm biased towards nursing because I'm a nurse, so maybe other healthcare, you know, workers too. And then cohort studies that investigate whether the same employees continue to get vaccinated throughout, or if they do stop, then why. Lots of recommendations for my facility, but they listened. So they did start with a mandatory vaccination program this year. And then with the personal reasons, I guess that's not required anymore because now everyone has to get vaccinated, and if they don't, they have to go and sign a disclaimer from the occupational health nurse, and then they have to wear the mask throughout the flu season. And then they have to identify better means of capturing physician data so that we can do other studies and look at differences. But most of these don't really apply anymore because they've gone ahead and started the mandatory program. If you have any questions, anyone?
My name is Dawn.
like if I looked at it closely, that's a possibility because they capture all that information. So, but I didn't consider it for this study.
I was interested when you listed the reasons. I think it was 25%. I mean, it varied, but thought that you got the flu from the vaccine.
Yes.
It's interesting that even among healthcare workers, that is so high.
Yeah.
A little education might be important.
Yes. I was a little shocked that there were some departments there where you have a very high proportion of people who are immunocompromised, like
oncology.
And yet you didn't necessarily see higher vaccination rates. So I wonder if, along with the mandatory vaccination program, if you're also trying to educate people in different, you know, departments about, you know, why it's important, for instance, that they're getting vaccinated and how they're putting, especially that kind of population, patients at risk.
I mean, every year we have to do the online influenza education class. So that's the most that we end up getting out of it all. So this was the main reason why I wanted to do this study, like by identify those specific areas, and they could tailor it more to them. But we'll see how the data shows this year. But so far, a lot of people have been vaccinated because they don't want to wear the mask, so it's kind of worked.
Question back there. Yes. In the back.
It was a great presentation. With the punitive measures, like wearing a mask and so forth, is that listed in the disclaimer that they have to sign?
Yes, they know. They're going to sign, but they know that they will have to... the way they introduced it was basically a memo via email in September. This year we're introducing mandatory vaccination. These are the reasons why. And as soon as the flu runner started going around, everyone was getting their flu shot because they don't want to go to... they don't want that aspect of going to sign and then having to wear the mask throughout the flu season. In the back first, sorry.
Great presentation. Two questions. One on the mandatory vaccination. What did they do to enforce the mandatory vaccination?
They sent out a memo. So they've sent out a memo. We have until December 30th to get the vaccine, and they give us a red sticker. So you have a sticker on your badge to show that you've actually been vaccinated. And if by the 30th of December you haven't been, you need to have gone and signed that disclaimer and wear the mask. So the way of identifying who's been vaccinated or not is the red sticker, which shows that you've had your vaccine.
This just caused an interesting... So I'm from British Columbia, where we did mandate vaccination.
Uh-huh.
And the unions actually was getting a sticker on their ID badge. This year we're no longer putting stickers, and it's just purely...
I mean, it's the first year, so it'll be interesting to see what happens, but so far I haven't heard anyone complaining.
And then I have a second question. So I noticed you had increasing vaccination rates through 2006 to 2012.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering, is there also, I know this is not your primary objective for your study, but did you also see reduction in outbreaks within the facility or sick economy?
I didn't look at that, but I think the challenge for this actual facility, when you call in, you just say, I'm not well. You're not required to say why. You're not required to give which symptoms you're calling in for. So even if I looked at sick records, it would be difficult to know whether, you know, the reduction in sick calls is because of the flu vaccine. That would be a challenge.
Thank you.
That lady behind you, sorry. They went down by 1% for last season.
That's it?
Yes.
Vaccinated. And I don't think any of them have a wear a mask if you don't want to be vaccinated
And I think a lot of it, I mean, like, looking at the literature, even I was, you know, recommending that they have to talk about it and get the union involved, but just the way they've done it, it looks like it works. You might have the fight on your hands, but if you don't try it, you don't know whether it would work or not, so.
I mean, they've gone out and done all these educational programs for the infection control nurses and the hospital administrators, and I think it helps that, you know, the Joint Commission and CMS and everybody are pushing this so strongly, and we give them these lovely little, you know, we add them to the honor roll of, you know, healthcare facilities that are doing good things, you know.
Yeah.
Question back here.
Has there been any illnesses connected with taking a vaccination? I'm aware of an individual who received a vaccination, flu vaccination, and a couple days later he came down very ill. We used to run marathons together. He was on the walk, taking a long run. And he attributes it to getting the vaccination because his facility required that he take it. So he still works, but he has lost that part of the fight. Well, I was just wondering, was any connection established between these things?
Can I respond? I'm Annie, the Riverside Permanent Dam, the employee flu coordinator. Mm-hmm. And what we tell employees who say they got the flu from the flu shot is very often they have the flu when they get the flu shot. The thing has already taken place. It takes about 2 weeks, is what we've been told, for the flu antibodies to build up in your body to resist the flu. So if he already had the flu, that's what happens. And that does happen to people.
Sure. And depending on the kind of vaccine he got, if it's inactivated.
I tell my patients that if I injected live flu into your muscle, you would not get flu. It will only replicate in your respiratory epithelium. So not only do we know it's safe because it's dead, but if my son, horrendous fowler, like polio, it was live, you still would not get flu.
They've done a great job of answering that question. Any other questions? All right, let's give our speakers another